This is Making Better Grown-Ups, episode
4.
You're like, Yeah. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Welcome back to Making Better Grown-Ups, you guys. I'm Leah Bourgeois. We're so glad that you made it back, whether you're listening or you're viewing on YouTube. I'm hoping that last week talking about friends versus friendship really, really got you to thinking. Did you check on your friends? Did you check on yourself? It's been a week, people. Let's go. I'm so excited, though, to dive in today into a very hard topic for me. The word abundance. Some of you might not know what that is, but you're about to get schooled on abundance today and what that means versus being wealthy. Please subscribe, rate, and review below. What you say matters to us. And while I have your attention, you guys, please make your way to makingbettergrownups.com. We have a newsletter that we want you to subscribe to where you're going to get bonus content, freebies, prizes. You don't want to miss out on this. And of course, please, please, please consider donating to us on Patreon. We are 4 individuals across this country making this podcast work every week for you, coming up with original content, teaching. We are buying new gear, new microphones, headphones, trying to work all the kinks out to make sure that when it gets to you, it is great. So anything that you can do to help would be so, so grateful for that. That is patreon.com. All of these links can be found below. Let's get to the show. Welcome back to the podcast, Making Better Grownups. What's up? It's Leah. I am so glad to be back here with you this week to go into a topic that is a little uncomfortable for me, but I think that it is something as a grown-up we need to discuss. And it is the topic of abundance. This was a very weird word to me, but I kind of need to backtrack a little to get you to where I got to think that I need to talk about the word abundance. A very heavy, weird, mysterious, interesting, misunderstood, overused word. So let's jump right into it. All right, so how do I process? It's very interesting. I'm going to be real with you guys. I have no idea what the next show is going to be until about 48 hours before the show. This is a really weird process. I did not know it would be this way. I thought I would have a calendar of events. I'm very type A. I'm organized. Everything's as it should be. Everybody knows where to be. I'm a wedding coordinator at heart from shooting weddings for 12 years. And that's how we're going to do it. But that's not how it is coming to fruition. It has been like an artist painstaking experience for me. I remember watching Lady Gaga once and she's like, I have to go into the woods, into this house and be alone for like months. And like, it's a really dark place for her. And I was like, that's weird. But now I kind of get it. When you're creating something and you want to make an impact and you want to do something that's worth listening to, you kind of have to go into a quiet place. Not so much dark. Mine's lit. But I have to go into a quiet place. And I usually get words. So God will just like give me a word. And it's like a vision. I will see it when I'm showering, when I'm in the car, when I'm blowing out my hair, which takes 4 hours. He just gives me a word. And then I meditate on that word. I talk to my husband about that word. Or I'll just kind of just keep it in my mind and talk to other people about that word. And sometimes I'm completely silent and nobody knows the word exists. And I'm just thinking, what in the world am I ever going to say about this word I don't know anything about? So last week we touched on friendship and relationship. And I was like, I know what those are. I thought I did anyways, right? But now this word, abundance, is a word that's kind of familiar to me, but uncomfortable for me. And so he's flashed this word in front of my eyes. I have 48 hours to figure this out. I am busy hosting my family from Texas. All right, yeehaw. And we're having the time of our life, so I haven't had much time to put into it. So this morning has been a labor of love and praying and meditating and trying to figure out what am I supposed to say. And I want you guys to know when I talk to you, I'm not coming from the expert seat, I know it all. I'm coming from the, oh my gosh, I'm learning something and I have to share it with you. I've always been the person that when I learn something and it comes into my life, it helps me to teach it or to share it to solidify it. So today we're going to get into it. I'm going to tell you right up front, straight to your face or to your ears, you might not agree with everything I say today. Again, we all come from different places, different raisings, different kinds of parents, different parts of the country or the world, and we all believe different. But we all have something to learn from each of our stories. So while this is going to have some heavy testimony and some heavy belief in it, I just want to welcome you to stay and listen and see what you can pull out of it, even if you're not in 100% agreeance with me. That's not the point of this. And whoever sits at my table and I get to have conversations with in the future, I don't expect we're going to agree to see eye to eye on everything, but that's where growth happens, and that's why I want to have seats at this table, because I want to forever be growing in what I know and what I believe to be true. So jumping in, we're going to go straight into it. Whew, I'm just going to take a deep whoo, whoo. That's how I come up with these topics, okay? So it was brought to my attention just a few years ago, this word abundance, and the way they made it feel was, if you work really hard and you make a lot of money, you will be able to do more and give more. So that's what I just assumed it was. And it made me think of my dad, okay? My dad and I were on a 3-year hiatus from talking during COVID. I'm not gonna lie, it was really rough. My family and I have always spoken. We've never been on bad terms. And I don't even say it was bad terms. It was more like we needed to be separated during a really hard pandemic so we could heal from some old stuff. And so I had some preconceived ideas of what my dad was. I never ever put abundant and my dad in the same sentence, mainly because I never used the word abundant. I don't think we walk around saying abundant. Another word for abundant is plethora. I've said that word a lot. I think that one just sounds so cool. A plethora. But abundance has a little bit more of depth to it. And immediately when they use that, they work hard, they make money, and they're able to give more and do more. Immediately I was like, this is like the story of my father. He's worked his whole life. Like he's done all these things. And I wasn't speaking to him, so I had to start healing the way that I view him. I can't change anyone else. That's not my job. But I can change who I am, how I perceive things through my lens, and change the lens like at the doctor. When they change the lens, can you see it now? Better now? Worse. Better? Worse. That's what we have to do in life. That's self-developing. That's becoming smarter and the greater version of yourself. And so those 3 years, even though I didn't speak to my dad every day or every week, I still was trying to figure out how can I be the better version of myself to reconnect with him one day and see him for who he really is. Because apparently the 15, 16, 17-year-old Leah saw him as a certain way, and maybe I was wrong. Maybe you're wrong about the way that you perceive some of your relationships. Maybe. So as I think about my dad, he did all that. He worked hard. He made money. And he was able to give, I guess. I really never saw where he gave. I know he went to church every Sunday and Wednesday and Thursday night for rehearsals. But I don't know where he was giving his money. But I know he was a true tither in church and he was faithful to God. There was one thing you know about my dad. That's it. We might have been poor, lower middle class people. But by golly, I knew that. But my dad never really shared his wealth with the family, but we never went without. I can't say I had a life where I can think of a time that I didn't have my needs met, which is what parenting is all about, really. I might have wanted the really fancy shoes, but I got them the year later when they were on sale, right? So looking back, my dad was really working hard to provide for us and our family. And he is a rags to riches story, if that's what you want to call it, right? Come from the bottom, now he's at the top. I've got to experience really watching a man work really hard, filled full of faith, and really full of gratitude and humility, and held his money tight. And I watched him hold his money tight most of his life, and I was like, why is he gripping it so hard? He won't let me have these Doc Martens. They're only $120 and weigh 50 pounds. But there were just certain places he wouldn't go. I resented him. I resented him a lot. Why can't we not have these things? You know, we grew up living in a rent house that was infested with rodents and gross stuff I won't get into, but we made it work. You know, I remember a time that my dad, this is just coming to my brain, he would make sure that we were gifted in a big way. Okay, so he wouldn't gift us like little things all year, or every Friday we'd go to Walmart and get a toy. It wasn't like that. It was like he would show up one day with a double tape deck boombox, silver, ultra cool. You know, the kind that the B-boys carried on their shoulder? Yeah, he brought that home one day. And I was like, what is that? He's, this is for you guys to play with in the yard when you're out doing your things. And me and my brother were like, what? This is so amazing. It wasn't 2 days later. 2 days later, that same gravel driveway, I left it out on. I put it behind his truck and he ran over it and split it in two because I didn't pick it up and put it back like I was supposed to. So there might be a reason my dad didn't always give me really nice things, because I would destroy them or let him destroy them. So there was a couple $100 down the drain. But he never ceased to continue to love us, not only financially, but just make sure that we were provided for and loved on a deep level. And everybody loves a different way too, right? My mom will hug and kiss and tackle you. My dad will side hug you and nod. And I think both are equal love languages. And so just kind of reminiscing back on, you know, my family and how I grew up, I discovered through this 3 years of not speaking to him that, oh my God, my dad was an abundant man. When he had very, very little, he still found a way to give above and beyond to me and my brother. And my mom. Whew. Just said I wasn't going to cry on this one. I've also seen him with a lot of money. And he continues to be abundant the exact same way. Like, how freaking cool is that? Whether he had little or he had a lot, he still gave above and beyond. And very, very seldom ever did I ever see him gift himself. Now, it took me the greater of my whole life to figure this out. But if I could go back and talk to the younger version myself, I'd be like, girl, you need to be grateful. You need to be grateful for what you got. Even if they were the red jabots and not the butterfly cut. Y'all know y'all wanted the butterfly cut. My parents could not afford those and the Doc Martens. There was a choice that had to be made. So I picked the heavy shoe. I just remember the healing started when I realized my dad wasn't money hungry, greedy, controlling. That, oh my God, he was abundant. Who could he bless? Who could he give away something to? Whose day could he make? Walking across a room to shake your hand, and he bows as he introduces himself to you. Still to this day, I saw him do it this weekend. We were all at some friends' houses and they're visiting us here in New Jersey, and they don't know them and we barely know them. And my dad jumps out of the seat at the pool, fully clothed because he didn't swim. It was hot. I don't know what he was doing. I think he's scared of his white legs. And you just see him disappear. And he just walks over to a complete stranger that owns this beautiful house, takes his hat off, stretches out his arm, gives him a handshake, and starts a conversation by asking a question. And then stays there for the latter of the time we were there. I remember a long time ago, I have a lot of dadisms. My dad told me, your business is your handshake. But I think his business is, I took my hat off and my handshake, and I asked you a lot about yourself because I care. I'm an abundant person. How can I bless you today? That's epic. And he's done it my whole life. So this morning has been very, very, very emotional for me. But he has taught me that abundance is not wealth. He was abundant when we had a trailer house that was falling apart in the woods. And he was abundant in the last 10 years of his wealth. He was the same then as he is now. And that says a lot. So the Latin root of abundance, in case you wanted to know for all the smarty pants out there, it is overflow. Overflow. Now, this is where we're going to take a little fork in the road. This is where we're going to talk about what the Google told me abundance is versus what God's word says about abundance. Now, I'm coming to y'all from a place of I just figured all this out in the last 24 hours. This is not something I am a world teacher on. I'm not trying to prove anything. These are discoveries for me. I am so curious why he gave me the word abundance. I'm so curious why my parents are here when he gave it to me. And then I'm like, really curious, what is it and why do I need to talk about it? So I'm shaking in my boots right now. But I think that I just need to give you facts. And I need to give you what I believe to be true and let you figure out what you believe to be true. Again, I'm not here to make you comfortable. I'm here to make you think. I'm here to make you grow. So abundance, according to the worldview, the secular view, right? I was researching, someone had quoted out on shareonpurpose.com. Abundance versus wealth. First of all, I had to realize they weren't the same thing because I was like, in my mind, if you're abundant, you're wealthy, right? Duh. But then as I started to think, I was like, wait, now my dad wasn't wealthy in that trailer house, but he sure was abundant. It says to be wealthy is achieving a great quantity of money and or possessions. Wealth is an end state. Let that sit. Abundance, on the other hand, is something you step into, an energy that you step into. Webster defines it as generating an ample quantity. Ample means like generously sufficient. The world says abundance is the process of both creating and receiving more. Abundance is a process of more energy of attraction. It's stepping into your divinity and your ability to create more. There's three mores we got going on right now, just three. Not just in money, but in everything. You want more. Success, joy, money, the meaning of life. You lose your ego. Your ego is like the little boy or little girl that lives inside of you that defends you. You control and embrace freedom. The world believes freedom is financial freedom, time freedom, and freedom to, quote, just be. End quote. Some people make themselves so much money and they become their own idol to attain more and more and more. And that makes them, quote, abundant. But what we just learned a few seconds ago is abundance and wealthy are not the same thing. Now, when I read all this, you can look into it real deep and you can be like, well, if you need to move some words around. My husband was talking to me. He's like, well, if you think of it this way and you think of it that way. But when I read that, the overall message I get from the world is you go out and you want to do good deeds or good acts or whatever, create, step into your own self, step into your best self, your higher self, you, and then you will be rewarded with more, and you're going to feel free. I think freedom is just something completely different. And I was raised that way. And that's what I believe. So while the world might believe that, I needed to dig a little bit deeper. I mean, my parents are sitting literally in my house. My dad is here. We're speaking again. I don't think it's weird that God put that word in my life and is having me speak about this because this is healing for me. This is giving me perspective. This is giving me growth. And I'm hoping right now You're getting a little squiggly in your ears and your seat right now, thinking, oh, I never knew that. That means you're growing. So let me just recap. I grew up super like lower class, middle class, like somewhere in there in the beginning. My dad's a third generation tractor dealership owner, McMaster, New Holland, Decatur, Texas. Shout out, plug. This is the third generation that's about to be given to the fourth generation. How incredible is that? They've all worked on top of each other's backs for all of these years. I had the privilege of working there a few years and getting to see how hard my dad actually works. And he is not lying. He shakes every hand of every person that comes through that door. And he is the first person they usually see standing at that counter with a smile, ready to go on his feet every single day. And on the days that it is closed, he is still on call. He will meet you where you need to go and get you fixed up. If your farmer's stuck and something's broke down, by God, he's going to help you. He just makes it work. You know, we were on church. We were churchgoers. I didn't realize how much we were in church until I met other people in my grown-up life that weren't. And they were like, how many days were you there? I mean, Sundays, duh. Sunday nights, yeah. Wednesdays, midweek pump up, and then they rehearsed because they were both in the praise and worship band. And then they were in leadership in children's church. They were always a part of something. And so I was in church, whether I wanted to be there or not, sitting in a pew or playing, you know, something somewhere, writing in a journal. We didn't have Game Boy then. I don't know what I was doing. But they were always so servant-like. He was the big gesture guy with the boom box and, you know, the fancy shoes a year late and, you know, the pants that I really wanted in the wrong color. But he always just, we never felt without. My mom and dad both worked. So my brother and I would ride the bus home and we'd be home a lot by ourselves. And he would get in a lot of freaking trouble. And I would have to make up for it somehow. We'd be breaking bones, almost burning down houses, falling through trampolines. I mean, my brother could be on a podcast of just like, you know, that show Jackass where they did all the stupid stuff. He could totally try out to be on that show because he was doing daredevil stuff all the time when we were home alone. But if I could sum up my parents, they are humble, they were resourceful, and they've always been full of gratitude. A lot of gratitude, with a little or with a lot. And if you know my parents, you love them. Everybody loves my parents. And that says a lot. That they always make you feel like you are the only person in the room. That you matter more than what matters to them. And I think that those gifts and the way that they showed up in my life is what impacted me to be that way. And trying to hone my skills to be that way. We were well taken care of. Our needs were met. But we were never, you know, on top of the world or keeping up with the Joneses. I mean, I was so embarrassed of where we lived growing up. We lived most of my life in this trailer home that was falling apart. You'll probably hear a lot about on another podcast. And I was so ashamed of it. I didn't want anybody to come to my house. I didn't want anyone to even see where I lived. And that stopped me from having a lot of relationships. And I kind of regret that. We kind of regret it. I wish I would have had a little more gratitude for the things that we did have because there was a lot of good memories that still happened in that house. That's where that round table was with the squeaky chairs that we talked about last week. And so many Christmases shoved in a really small place and a piano in a hallway in a trailer house. I mean, who does that? We did. I was forced to learn how to be a musician, which led me to my music degree. I think they were onto something. Just shove a piano where she has to crawl over it to get in her room and she will be a musician. Oh, man. Memories. 7 days a week he worked. 5 days a week she worked. She's incredible. She is a life giver. Anyone who knows my mom, unforgettable. Unforgettable. I'm not sure when, but money became not so scarce. And my dad came into more money. He earned his money. He grew his money. I don't know. I haven't asked him all those questions yet. But I remember the first big gesture he did to me that blew my mind. Now, I got pregnant in high school. So I was 17. I was graduating high school. And most parents would be ashamed. Most parents probably wouldn't send them to college. You know what my dad did? He took me to the car dealership and he bought me a brand new car. Yep, you heard it right. He bought me a brand new car. And I was like, Daddy's loaded. I didn't even think about a loan. I didn't think about that. I was like, he's going to buy this thing in cash. So anyways, this is a funny story I didn't plan on telling, but I think this really sums up a lot. So I get through high school. I have my daughter. I graduate. I decide I'm going to college on scholarship for music, which he's super proud of. And because I was a single mom in Texas, they help you go to college. So a lot of my college was paid for. And I went year-round college for 6 years, you guys, like even summer sessions. So he knew I was going to be faithful to my schoolwork. He was just believing that, I guess. I don't know. But he took me into the Ford dealership, and I was so excited because he had taken me a few months earlier to drive, I think it was a 65 red, cherry red Mustang with a white drop top. And I could not get it out of the person's driveway because it was manual, like stick shift, and it had no power steering, and it was gorgeous. And I said, Daddy, I can't even move it out of the driveway. He's like, well, that ain't gonna work. I think that car was his dream, and he just wanted me to have it so he could just ground me and he could keep it. Either way, I remember that driving really far away to test drive that car and being like, that ain't gonna work. And he decided, nope, I'm gonna take her to the dealership. So we walk into the dealership and the man's like, you know, what kind of car are you looking for? And everybody knows my dad, all right? He's like the mayor, but not official. And they're like, what are you looking for, Mickey? And he's like, you know, need something safe for her. She's starting college and just want to get her to school and get her back safely. Because college was 30 minutes one way on the most dangerous highway in Texas. And I was like, I know what I want. He's like, well, tell me what you want. I was like, I want a Mustang. He's like, okay, all right, you're talking my language. And I was like, whoop, 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 I'm getting a Mustang. We went to the Mustang and there was a bunch of them sitting out front. And I was like, what color am I going to get? This is in 1997. So if you want to go back and look up that body style, it was like really cute. And we get to the part where he opens the door to let me sit in it. And my dad just briefly mentions, how do you get a car seat out of this? I was like, oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He totally didn't say that. I didn't want that man knowing I had a baby. And the man immediately says, oh, you can't get a Mustang. This is not for children, especially car seats. It's just terrible getting them in and out. And my dad's like, yeah, you think? And I'm like, I can do it. I'm young. I'm nimble. I'm 4'11". I could crawl back there while I'm driving and still drive. Like, look at me. I'm so small. I can make this work. And meanwhile, my daughter's like a few months old. Do they make four-door Mustangs? I was thinking. No, they do not. So the man's like, with the car seat situation and a fast car and the color red, which is like basically a target for pull me over, this might not be the best car for you. And my dad immediately agreed with him. I'm like, wait a minute. This is a Mustang thing. And I was just so angry. So I believe it was that day or another day. I can't really remember. My memories are kind of squished together. But my dad walks me up. It was another day. It was a second day now that I remember. Yeah, it was a different day. My dad brings me back. It's a whole new vibe. I know I'm not getting the car in my dreams. But I know I'm going to get a car. So I should be really, really happy. I'm 17. As we walk up, he walks me up to this car. It's green, my favorite color. It has four doors. It has power windows, which was a big upgrade. It had powered seats for the driver. And it was brand new. 0 miles on it. They took it off of the trailer and pulled it out and sat it for me. He put a wing on it. You know, a wing, the thing that goes at the back of your car. I had no idea why it was there. To make it sporty because he knew I wanted a sporty car. He had that much love for my car infatuation. And he said, do you like it? It didn't have leather seats. And I was like, well, yeah, I like it. He's like, think it'll get you to school and back? I'm like, yeah, you can have it. And I was like, really? He's like, drive her on out. And now looking back, looking back on that, he knew exactly what he was doing. And he knew I didn't need a Mustang. I would have killed myself. I blew out 7 tires in 4 years. I mean, come on. I got kicked off my insurance. I got kicked off in like 3 years. I was not the best driver. But you know why? Because this man didn't check one thing on the car. The one thing a 4'11" person needs. They need their seat to lift up so they can see over the steering wheel, and the steering wheel had no tilt. Y'all, why in God's creation does someone make a car where there's no tilt on the steering wheel? I blame the car. I blame the car for every wreck and blown tire I've ever had. I couldn't see over the steering wheel. Years later, when I told him that, I was like, I couldn't see over the steering wheel. Oh, I don't want a separate insurance, and he's paid out the wazoo for me. He's like, well, if you would have told me sooner, I would have got you a pillow or something. That was his way of fixing it. Oh, gosh. But just to think back on those days of, you know, I couldn't have the Adidas shoes I wanted in 7th grade. I had to wait till the end of the year when they were on sale. And high school, I couldn't have, you know, the in-style Doc Martin lace-up one, the trendy one, but I could have, you know, the old school one. I think about all those sacrifices that we made, and I felt like I was getting duped. But really, he was just really saving it for the big abundance, to really bless me, because he knew I'd be safe. He knew I would have a car that would not break down every minute. It would be in the repair shop like 20 times. But you can't prepare for stuff like that. And he wanted me to be safe. And he trusted I would go to school and do my best, and I would not quit. And that's exactly what I did. I got my degree in music performance, and I got my education degree for music K-5 and actually all the way through high school. I can teach any grade level of music. And that car got me there. She got me everywhere. Oh, Betsy. She's been through the ringer, thanks to my dad. Now, I have this saying that my dad has always said to me, and I've used it literally my whole life, and I've used it in my business. I've used it with my children, my husband, everybody. I was 18 years old. I'd ran out of money. So he would give me like a weekly allowance in college, and it had to pay for gas, food, whatever. If you run out, you run out. And I ran out quite frequently. And I went to him, and I was in the driveway by my green car. And I say, Dad, can I get some more money? I didn't have enough. He's like, didn't I just give you whatever, whatever? And I'm like, well, yeah, but then, you know, this happened and that happened. He's like, well, better go give some away. I was like, give away what? He's like, money. I was like, I don't have any money. He's like, well, maybe next time you'll think about it. I was like, wait, what? He's like, whatever you want more of, you need to go give that away. It made zero sense to me at that age. I was like, are you insane? I don't own anything, like nothing. The clothes on my body, you even bought those. How could I give away anything? I was thinking monetary. I was thinking money. I was thinking like a physical thing I could go and give somebody. But that's not the lesson my dad was planting, this little seed in my soul of my whole life, showing me what abundance looked like. That you have to go give what you want to receive. You just can't get more, 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 and more, as the world is telling you. You got to do with the little bit that you got. And you got to learn to give a little bit of that away and know that God will bless you tenfold. Mind blown! I'm 44 years old and I'm just figuring out something. He told me when I was 18, but I actually witnessed my entire life. And he never, ever, ever taught me a lesson or told me how it was going to be or used the word abundance or gave me a scripture. He just showed me what it looks like. And he's forgiven me so many times, it's ridiculous. Because he emulates what God would look like if he walked on this earth. He does. And so does my mom. I'm very blessed. So my dad is just like the guy who teaches millions of lessons without saying it. I think those are the best communicators in the world. I think now as a parent, I'm always like, sit down, let's talk about that and process that. And let's understand what's happening. My dad's old school. Very little words come out of his face. Now, my mom, on the other hand, she's got a lot of words and sometimes they're not nice. She's either on the evil side or the good side. You don't know which side it's going to be. Approach with caution. They're complete opposites, but that's what makes them so awesome. And it really wasn't until I got my teaching job and I was in a career for the first time for a little while anyways, 8 years, that I didn't need to depend on my dad for finances for the first time. This was a huge, like, I got my chest puffed out. I'm like, look at me, Dad, I'm balling. I was like making my own money. I didn't need him. I was so proud of myself. And all I wanted my dad to say was, good job, kid. Again, my dad is a man of very few words. There was no good job, kid. But you know what? He loved coming to see all my performances and my children. All of the performances and the choir performances and the plays and walking in my classroom and seeing how parents and kids, my parents just reveled in that. It was just so fun to show off all that I was accomplishing with all these kids. It was just a little magical time in my life that I know he knew the car that got me to the college and the college that got me to the classroom. This was the big, yeah, it was worth it. We did it. It was a we did it kind of season. We did it. Teamwork. It took all of us to raise my daughter. It took all of us to get me through college. It took all of us to get me through the green car not dying until after college. She got me way out of college. And I started to have a lot of pride in myself and being independent. I'm a woman. I'm independent. I'm successful. Even though I only had a little, I felt successful. And I started to have an attitude of, I don't need your help. Stop trying to help me. Stop trying to save me. Watch me. I'll go get a side hustle. I can do it without you. And it wasn't really about him. It was about me. Like, I wanted to show off, like, who I am and what I'm capable of. I'm a woman. Hear me roar. But his words always stuck really, really true in my heart. And I remember when I first got married the first time. In case y'all didn't know, I was married before my stunning husband, Jeff, who's sitting in the room listening to this. I was married before. And I had to go and navigate some really hard waters. Financially, emotionally, became very unstable. And my dad, even though I was prideful and told him I didn't need his help, I don't want you, I don't need you, he still made himself available to me, my mom and dad both, to get me through a hard time. And I had to lower my pride and ask for help. And I swore after that season I would never ask for help again. Because again, I had this pride complex of like, my God, I just failed him. Of all the things he's done for me, I failed him. I failed him. But there's something that I have learned through watching him. And that is abundance through the Bible lens. Okay, so we've already learned about what the world view is. But the Bible view of abundance is what he had been teaching me the whole time. And even through all those years, he's helping me or me avoiding help, me wanting help and just back and forth about money. It was mostly about money because, again, rags to riches. He had nothing in it. Now he has a lot. I was just really confused. Money was a weird topic for me. I was like, I don't want to talk about money ever to anyone. Both husbands, I don't want to talk about money. I just felt awkward in that space because to me, money was abundance. Not so much. So I'm going to turn to the Bible. I do not do this all the time. But I feel like if I'm going to quote from Google, I'll quote from the Bible since that's what I'm comparing. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For the measure you use it will be measured back to you. Not once did it say you get more. Work harder, do more, get more, be free. Abundance is not measured by what you have, but your mindset and your gratitude towards what you have now. I'm going to turn my pages on my notes for that one. So that's how I was brought up. I was brought up watching two people work hard, love hard, and give above and beyond what they even had. It starts with God's abundance, though. They were obeying. They were watching how God was blessing their life. And they were emulating that on earth. That's what abundance is for the Christian faith. That for me. Again, you might not agree with me. You might be like, this is making me uncomfortable. It's all good. This is just my lens. And so for us, for me, my family, God's abundance is through blessings of money, your children, your health, protection. It's a big one for me. Spiritual gifts. And above all, it's your salvation that you're going to live forever. Right? But through obedience, my dad, my mom's heart, they survived a lot of trials. Gosh, if I ever get them on here together, we've been on here for like 5 hours talking about trials. But through that, they were still abundant and faithful and tithing and going to church and raising us hoodlums, keeping my brother from killing himself and running off on the motorbike and all the other things, burning the house down. My mom, you know, she always told me you can never out-gift God. You can never out-gift him. I have lots of quotes from my parents. They don't even realize I memorized them all, but my mom, she's the one. You meet her, you never forget her. It's like a tattoo impression in your brain, in your heart, in your soul when you meet my mother. She would go to the grocery stores as growing up. You know, I say grocery store. It was a Walmart. Let's be real. It wasn't super. It was just regular. And I would see a lady walk up. My mother would walk up to complete strangers and just say, can I bless you really quickly? I have a word for you. And she boldly would just say something to them and just say, have a great day and walk up. I'm like, what was that? I'm like hiding behind the baskets, like trying not to be seen. And I did not know what she was doing. She would go up and she would go to swipe her card, just swipe it or write a check back in the day for someone's groceries as they're checking out. I'm like hiding behind the nail salon lady. Like, what are you doing? She's like, God told me to pay for it. I'm like, oh, this is uncomfortable. I was always so uncomfortable around my mom. I didn't know what she was doing. She's also like the gift of gab. So one of her ways of being abundant and blessing people is letting them be seen and heard. She'll find you anywhere, anyway, whether she put on her makeup or not, doesn't matter where she's at, she will find you and make you feel the most special person in the world. Like she'll find you on the street. I've seen her walk up to people on the street and just bless them. Still, I'm a little uncomfortable with it sometimes. But I'm starting to realize that that's her gifting. Like, that's what she does. That's who she is. That's her abundant gift. So cool. She has so much generosity. So much. She would literally lay down and let you walk on her. She has the ability to make you feel seen and heard, even at her own sacrifice. She's an incredible mom. She's amazing. Now, my dad, he's different. He's quiet. He blesses people in different ways with his abundance. Handshakes, side hugs. He'll go out of his way to pick you up on the side of the road in the middle of the night when you have 7 blown out tires. But no question. Are you okay? Are you alive? Are you injured, Leah? No questions. Get in the car. We'll take care of it tomorrow. Fresh day. He financially helps people and blesses people with wanting nothing in return. He has that because he literally curated and made that happen over his entire lifetime. And it wasn't until recently I've even seen him spend any money on himself at all. It's just a life of giving. Not more. More for me. More, 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 more. A life of humility and giving. these are the people who raised me. These are my parents. I am so freaking blessed. Feeling a lot of gratitude right now. A lot of gratitude. So I was on YouTube this morning. This is part of my process, you guys, okay? Part of my process is when I'm curling my hair for the show. If you're not watching the YouTube, I'm sorry, you're missing out on my great curls today. I have this weird thing that I do. I'm just going to share it with y'all. I go to a certain website on the YouTube that I follow. It's a Christian church in Texas. And I'll just call them out. Mercy Culture, shout out. I love you guys. So I attend a church here locally, but I like to watch a church online just to get different context. And, you know, just it's just a vibe. Texas is a vibe. The churches there are just like, whoa. And so I just kind of like that at-home feeling. And so I'll go to Mercy Culture and I'll scroll, you guys. Literally just take my fingers on my phone and I will scroll until it stops. It's like being – what are those things called? It's like being at a losing my words here. What do you call it? Like when you're in a casino, you know, and you're scrolling through something in a game and you're just like, oh, what's it going to land on? Stop. Ah, the slot machine. That's what it is. Hey, it takes me a minute, but it's okay. We're still here. Slot machine. Okay. It lands on a video and I just hit play and I just listen while I do my hair. Because my hair is a whole experience. Hair and makeup is a whole experience every time we record. And as I'm sitting there listening every single week, I swear on everything I own, God literally speaks through one of those exactly what I'm about to speak on. So he gives me the word abundance 2 days ago. And then I go, here we go. Come on, jackpot. And it lands on one. And about an hour and 20 minutes in, I'm still listening to it because I'm still doing my hair. Boom. He gives me the word that goes with the word that he gave me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And every time Jeff comes to check on me, he's like, I got it set up. Let's go. You ready to podcast? He looks in my face and he knows, oh snap, it happened again. Did it happen again? I'm like, it happened again. And I have him listen to it or look at it and just kind of work through it with me. So it happened again today, which means I know I'm supposed to be saying it and doing it. And they're talking about Ephesians 3:20. To him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So God is abundance. Translation. What Paul was trying to do was he was expressing his gratitude to God and affirming that God can do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. You can work harder, smarter, longer, whatever. Get more, 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 more. But he could blow your mind. He blows my mind every week. Out of my obedience to do this and to be scared to talk to you about this, I was the girl on the back row at church. I'm not a front rower, hallelujah, praise Jesus, hands in the air girl. I just like to sit in the back. This is very uncomfortable for me, but he told me to do it and I'm doing it. And I don't know why. I don't need to know why. I just have to be obedient. So all those years that I was resenting my dad and his money, trying to save me or buy me out or just money, 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 money everywhere. Let me just fix your whole life. I was like, I got this. I'm a successful woman. I don't need your help. He was just being obedient and he was being abundant. The very things I'm trying to learn how to hone. He didn't want more. He wanted to bless. Who knew? I was completely wrong about my dad. And that's where the healing began. I'm so glad that we are in good relationship now. It's healthy. We still side hug. It's okay. Every once in a while I get a front hug. And life is so much sweeter now that I changed the way I look at my dad. In my opinion, abundance isn't about more. Never was. It's grounded in faith and obedience, gratitude, and giving away what you want more of. And to know that he will supply all your needs. That's the lesson that my dad has taught me. And my mom. Not so much my brother. All right, so you guys know I love a good story, and that's why we're here, or powerful testimonies, all right? So now that I am fully aware what abundance is, I'm like going in the Rolodex of my life, and I'm like going backwards. I'm like, oh my gosh, when was my life abundantly blessed? And I didn't have a freaking clue. And this immediately came to my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to share this. Okay, so as you all know, not to repeat myself, I was an elementary music school teacher, okay? So I had K through 5. So I had all my kids for 6 years. Shout out to JES out there. What's up? And I had them for 6 years in a row. So by the time they left me, they were practically my blood. I saw them once or twice a week. And the bond that we all have is just irreplaceable. And now they're all old and having babies and living life. And they always keep up with me. And it's just so fun. It's so fun. They always say a teacher isn't blessed truly by what impact they have for 20 to 30 years after they've taught. And that is the truth, I tell you now. And so thank you for all my students who still reach out and who are listening to this podcast, because you have been telling me you are. It's so fun to have our circles reunite and come back together. So there's this one particular story that just blew my mind. In the moment it blew my mind, it blows my mind even more now. This is one of those you're not going to believe it stories, okay? So I have some students that were a brother and a sister. They were only there for like a year. And the mom comes in and it's meet the teacher or something like that. And I've got all the instruments laid out. And it sounds like a circus gone wild, because I just don't really care. If they want to play it, play it. And I'm trying to overspeak over all the instruments playing, and we're all yelling over them. And she's like, so what – what do you need in your classroom? And I'm like, what do you mean? I have everything I need. I was kind of blessed walking in, because I had these risers built, like huge, deep risers built into the back of my room that had plugs. And I had a whole entire keyboard unit. Like, everybody got a keyboard and got to do keyboard lessons in fifth grade. Like, what school has that? I'm like, I'm already blessed, sister, but thank you so much. And I wrote a grant and got some instruments over there that they're all banging on. She's like, yeah, but there's only 6. How many kids are in your class? I was like, oh, double sometimes, 25 to 40. She goes, well, what do the other ones do? So we went through all that. She goes, maybe you need more. I was like, that's a possibility to have more. Yeah, that would be nice. Here's the thing about music teachers, PE teachers, art teachers. Shout out to all the specials teachers and library. Don't forget library. We are underfunded. Severely. A lot of the stuff comes out of our pocket. We just make it ourselves. I've made so many posters and so many manipulatives. Oh my gosh. And when you have a class of 30 to 40 kids, that's just a lot of time and money. So the fact that this lady was just like, what do you need? I'm like, I thought nothing, but as I started thinking about it, oh my God, I need a lot. Just buying a musical was like $200. Just the music. So I kind of went through a list of some things, and she's like, okay, well, that's good to know. You know, we're always looking to bless people. And she left. I was like, okay, that was fun. More parents, whatever. It wasn't that long afterwards, she came back to my classroom, and she's like, so let's talk. I was like, okay. She's like, about the things that you need. I said, sure. She's like, so a musical for 2 grades. We need more instruments. We need more of this, more of that. And we just kind of ran down a list. She's like, how is like 7,000? I was like, 7,000 what? She's like, $7,000. Would that give you a good jump start to the things that you need? Dramatic pause for a reason. I was like, whoa. Hold your horses. What? I'm teaching all day and I don't remember half of my life. Did you just say you wanted to give me $7,000? She said, yes. We love to donate to people, to charities, deserving people in the community. And our kids come home every Thursday after music class, set up an entire arrangement, writing their music notes and playing their instruments. And they are you. They are emulating you. And we just get a crack out of that. We would like to support your mission in this classroom. I said, my mission is that every kid loves music, experiences it, learns how to read and write it. That's what I want. And she was like, let's make it happen. So I remember the day that my principal, she said, please come to my office. And I was like, that has never happened in my adult life. This is not good. So I make my way to the principal's office and she sits me down and she was like, there has been a very large amount of money donated to your program. And I was like, really? You don't say. She's like, yeah, to the sum of $7,000. And I was like, what? That's insane. She's like, yeah, it came from the blank, blank, and blank, blank family. I said, wow, that is incredible. Oh my gosh, I am so honored. I don't even know where I'm going to start. And she said, we're just a little upset. And I was like, oh God, why? She's like, well, we just don't feel comfortable giving you this entire $7,000. Okay. Well, what do you feel comfortable with? She's like, we just don't think that's fair. Okay, what's fair? She goes, well, all of the specials teachers, which are all my friends, by the way, y'all should all split it evenly. And so she went to the lady and told her, the principal said, we should split it evenly. It's not fair. And the lady said, that's not what God told me to do. It's for Leah. She can do whatever she wants to, but she can't share. What a position to put me in. Thanks, God. You can have all this money. Bless all these children. You can buy all the choir t-shirts because we were a lower class community. You can buy musicals that cost $400. You can buy all the costumes for all the third grade. But you cannot share it. This was an act of obedience on her part. And now she's passing the torch of act of obedience on my part. So guess what I did? I told the principal, then let's just do what she says. I'd rather have the money than not have the money. And let's see how we can use it in the best way possible where all of the students in this school are touched by this amount of money. Maybe not in the PE room, maybe not in the art room, maybe not in the library, but every child in every grade will be touched and blessed by this money. Let's maximize it. So she just had to eat it. She didn't have a choice. And I didn't have a choice either because I had to obey. Because I believed that lady when she said that. So I just did what she said. So I spend probably like $5,000 of it. And I set back the rest of it for, you know, rainy day savings or next year savings or whatever. The classroom is just full of instruments and full of fun, and we have the best of the best, and just so blessed. So blessed. I worked really, really hard there. I shook every kid's hand every single day, every time they came in my classroom, just like my dad does in his business. Because my handshake was my business. Those children were my business. And I just accepted it, that this was an abundant gift from this lady, given from God, and I would steward it well. So I had about $2,000 left, and summer came, and that summer we were going out to eat. And as we go out to eat, we run into this lady who had donated all the money. And she says, how did it go? I was like, oh my gosh, we have so many instruments and so much musicals, and oh my gosh, thank you for blessing my classroom. She said, well, what did you do with the rest? I said, the rest of what? She goes, the other 7,000. I was in a restaurant. I literally went, what are you talking about? Like, I was concerned at this point. Is there a confusion around the 7,000? Is there a second 7,000? And she literally said, I just wrote a check last week for another $7,000. I said, to me? She's like, to you. I was like, oh my mercy. If my principal hated the first one, the second one is going to be wrath. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And she's like, I can't believe they didn't tell you about it yet. And she's like, I'm calling them on Monday. I was like, oh, whoa, it's okay. Okay. What should I do with this? Because they were really upset I didn't share. She goes, this one, use your discretion and share. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. because I didn't want to have to not share again. The first people I went to were the special needs. What can I give you? I went to PE, I went to art, and I went to library. I said, what can I give you to help you this year? And it was so fun to give and not want more for myself. See where that lesson keeps coming back around, that abundance lesson? I think we have it backwards, you guys. More is not always better. But the act of obedience on her part, the act of obedience on my part, me standing up to the principal who I knew did not like me, she did not like me, blessed all those kids in so many ways. And God taught me a huge lesson that I'm talking about all these years later with you. Now, the ironic part of this story is her kids did not see the blessings of her givings. They left later that year, moved away, and I never saw them again. She truly gave from an abundant heart, wanting nothing in return, not even for her own children who were playing me at their house. How cool is that? So I was thinking back, like, what kind of story could I tell you guys about me being obedient and abundant? And it brought me to this time. So I drive into New York City all the time to shoot. I like to just drive in New York because I like New Yorkers driving better. Their honks are like on purpose. Like their honks are like Morse code. They can like talk without talking. I love that. Jersey just honks to be rude. It's like an angry honk. So anyways, I'm on my way back from a photo shoot and I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm exhausted. And my gas tank is on like 2 or 3 miles. Like she's like, you need to pull over and get gas. And I knew one gas station on the way home. Exit 1 for New Road. And I know there is a gas station there that has snacks because some gas stations here don't have a place to go in. You can't get snacks and a drink. Ridiculous. So I get there and all of a sudden I pull up and I can barely get into the driveway. And as I'm pulling into the drive, because there's a line, I look over to my left and there's a young lady and she's holding a sign. And the sign says, please help my family. Now, being the person that I want to be in my fleshly person, I didn't make eye contact. I read it out of the corner of my eye, like, oh, I'm not looking at you. And then as I drove off, I kind of smiled and I kept going. I got in line to get gas and it took forever because it was like an apocalypse or something. Everyone was gas hoarding and everyone was filling up their tank. And I remember rolling down my window and I was looking at that girl now far away at the entrance and thinking, man, I hope somebody really helps her. But I'm so tired, I gotta get home. And so the guy takes my card, and I remember because it was a Mickey Mouse card, he commented on it, like a cute card and whatever. What kind of gas do you need today? And I said, fill it up on regular. He's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah. He's like, it's real expensive. I was like, well, I don't want to stop tomorrow, so let's do it. Gas back then was like $5 a gallon, if y'all remember. It was insane. You had to really decide, do I really want to leave my house and drive my car? And still I could see her sitting out by the road holding that sign by herself in pitch black dark. And thinking, in my mind, I was thinking, it takes a lot of guts to do that. To stand there and ask for help, to not have enough money or the means to help yourself, and the humility that it must have over her. And God just pressing on my heart, go back, go back. Go back. I'm like, nope, 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 nope. Already told my husband I'm almost home. He hands me my credit card and my bill. I look at it. It's over $100 for gas. I'm like, whoop, okay, that's expensive. I literally bypassed the girl. I didn't even go in for snacks. I just went left and was going out the side exit. And I was like, gotta sneak out. No one's gonna see me. And God went reverse. Now, reverse. I kicked it in reverse. I went backwards in an exit. Or so everyone's coming in where she's standing. I'm actually facing where they drive in. I am backwards. I'm in a dangerous position. I roll down the window. She's on the side window, the passenger window. And I just look at her and I said, what do you need? And she said, whatever you can do. I said, is that money or is that food? Or is that gas? She said, whatever you can do would help. I said, you see the guy over there with the curly hair? Go to his pump. She said, are you serious? I said, yeah. She goes, are you serious? Are you serious? I said, yes. She goes, oh my gosh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she just runs. And she runs into this, gets in this van. And as I'm driving past it, the van is, the trunk is open. It's full of cases of water and soda and chips. So people have been donating to them. But nobody had given them gas because gas was so expensive. I didn't think twice about it after God just convicted my heart and I saw her face. I was like, I'll pay for 300 tanks of gas at this point. You just tell me what you need. Y'all need food? You need money? What do you need? I'll go inside. I pulled up behind them and the guy goes to take, the guy pulls up to the gas tank and the tenant that had just pumped my gas, I pull up behind him and block him in and he goes, did you forget something, ma'am? I said, no, come here. I handed him the Mickey Mouse card. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm buying them a tank of gas. He goes, are you sure about that? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, wow. Okay. You got it. You got it, ma'am. I got a ma'am out of that one. I was like, whoop. He went and put my Mickey Mouse card in, and all of a sudden, a man jumps out of the van with the wife, and there's a baby. And they're just crying and asking, how could they ever pay us back? And I'm like, you don't need to pay me back for nothing. I'm just being obedient. What you can do is pay it forward. If you're ever in the position to be abundant, do it. For me, this is my gift to you. I spent over $220 in gas that night. But I felt richer than I ever have. I never got out of the car and hugged them. I didn't make a big scene about it. I didn't want to embarrass them. I just wanted to bless them. And God used me because I was obedient. I totally ignored him at first. I was like, I don't want to hear you. Like, I want to go home. I feel gross and sweaty. I don't like sweating. And he said, no, you go back. They said all we needed was to get back home. Our baby's out of food. All we have is the water and the chips in the back. We just got to get back to Virginia. And I said, I hope this gets you there. And they just literally had prayer hands thanking me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's all kinds of ways to give. I don't think it's about more, 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 more. I think that God will give you more and bless you with more of all the things that you give away. So whatever it is that you're looking for to have more of in your life, I just want to give you my daddy's words. Go find a way to give it. Give it all away. Whether you got a little or whether you've got a lot. I hope you guys enjoyed today. Remember to be obedient, to be kind, to have faith, and to trust your intuition. It won't lead you in the wrong places. That little inner voice is important. Go be abundant. Woo! Take a deep breath. Wasn't that so good? Your feathers may be a little ruffled right now. You may be a little uncomfortable right now, but I bet you grew just a little bit. And I'm so grateful for that. Keep coming back every week and we can keep growing together and learning new things. I really truly believe you are here on purpose. So thank you for tuning in. Friendly reminder, subscribe, rate, review below. Your opinion matters here. And also, just a friendly reminder, get on the newsletter. This is where all the happenings are. This is how we can stay in touch for freebies, behind the scenes, extra content, prizes. Who doesn't love a good prize? Please go to makingbettergrownups.com and connect with us there. Patreon. If you're feeling abundant, you guys, this is a time to extend your abundance. Please look at the link below or on our website where you can help us keep this alive. There are 4 grown people across this United States trying to bring original content and great stuff to you every single week from this household. And just, we really appreciate you seeing us. So any amount really does count and really does help forward this mission and help us with things like this microphone and a new stand and paying my husband. Just kidding, I don't pay him. So anything that you can do to contribute, please. We are so, so gracious and thankful for that. So let's go out and be abundant. See you guys next week.